This is 5 o'clock Shadow on the Pacifica Radio Network. I'm Robert Knight in New York, and in today's program, we'll be speaking live with Ray McGovern, former CIA officer, on the case of Edward Snowden and the greater issues that his saga is revealing to the world. We'll also be speaking with Guantanamo attorney Carlos Warner on this first week of the holy month of Ramadan and the plight of the detainees that are being force-fed by the Obama administration in Guantanamo. We'll also hear a stunning presentation by Yasin Bey, the artist formerly known as Mos Def, as he takes a voluntary force-feeding of the same kind that the Guantanamo abductees are suffering daily. And we'll also be taking a look at Barack Obama's broken promise in regard to Guantanamo, human rights, and so many other issues. Stay tuned. This is 5 o'clock Shadow on the Pacifica Radio Network, originating at WBAI. I'm Robert Knight in New York, and we are happy to be joined now live by former CIA officer and presidential daily briefer Ray McGovern. And we convene at a time of crisis for whistleblowers throughout the administration and the continuity of that with the work of Edward Snowden, the most recent NSA whistleblower who revealed so much of the total information awareness system that all Americans and perhaps all the globe are suffering. Ray, welcome back to the Shadow. And first, I just want to get a little bit of logistical business out of the way, because there are various rumors flying around about possible sanctuaries or asylum for Mr. Edward Snowden, who, as far as we know, is still at the Moscow airport. Among the nations offering asylum are Nicaragua and the nation of Venezuela and perhaps others. Do you have any inkling as to what his physical and logistical state might be at this time?
Well, all the indications are that he's in good spirits. He's almost certainly at the airport at Sheremetyevo, one of the airports there near Moscow. And the asylum has been offered, and apparently the choice is his. He's got Bolivia, Nicaragua, he's got Venezuela. It looks like the Cubans would take him in. Ecuador has just not been heard from recently, but my guess is they would take him in as well. So the choice really is how he gets to Latin America. And there are all kinds of speculation today about what routes he might take, and there are problems with every route, including refueling. But you know, where there's a will, there's a way. And so far, he has shown himself to be very well advised in how he comports himself. And as long as the Russians don't throw him out, which they won't until Obama visits Russia in another month or two, I think he can pick and choose. And my bet is that he'll find his way to Latin America. They seem to be not only willing, but seem to be eager to show their independence, unlike our servile European allies.
Ray, if you'll bear with me, there is one issue that continues to concern me about the international protocols regarding asylum and safe passage. We have seen over the past week the monstrously unique forcing down of the airplane of a head of state, President Evo Morales, of Bolivia by the Obama administration, the State Department, and various police agencies and others under the control of the president. And one cannot help but wonder what kind of logistics, if such sanctuary and travel documents are presented to Mr. Snowden, how safe would a plane be in regard to refueling, in regard to being escorted or intimidated by United States aircraft, or otherwise impeded in achieving the human right to political asylum?
Mm-hmm. Well, in my view, it would not be very safe. The United States has shown itself to be really not very heeding of international law or of any kind of agreements. Now, on the one hand, you have the president saying, well, I'm not going to scramble jets to, you know, force down a 29-year-old hacker, okay? That's the public posture. behind the scenes, even today, the president's spokesman, Jay Carney, said that they're pulling at all the stops, all these people. It's an incredibly unseemly spectacle for a superpower. After all this stuff has been released, Snowden doesn't depend on Snowden anymore. That's a very important point. He's not going to release anything else that he hasn't already given over to Glenn Greenwald and others. So what's it all about? It's all about making Snowden into an object lesson of what happens to people if they tell the truth, if they expose the crimes, if they expose in particular the collusion between all three branches of our government to violate the guarantees of our Constitution, and in this case, the explicit provisions of the Fourth Amendment of the Bill of Rights, which says no one shall be subjected to unauthorized or illegal seizures or searches or seizures. And if something is done, it's got to be done because of, quote, probable cause, end quote, and the particulars of the person searched and the place to be seized or vice versa need to be cited and needed to be required and recorded. Now, you could see from these programs that that is not being observed. And, you know, Snowden, like me and like others, have taken a solemn oath to support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies. And when we see a kind of a cabal, an executive that has no respect for the Constitution, Congress that has no concept of exercising genuine overseeing of this of the executive, and then the pretense of a court involvement by these judges who, irrespective of the Fourth Amendment, approve blanket surveillance, no probable cause, no particulars, just the assumption that we all could be, you and me, Robert, potential terrorists, and so collect all the information you can on us. That's really what the U.S. is trying to divert attention to. And this business about, you know, Snowden personally and where he is and how he's going to get where he's going to get, that was very useful to them because it disguises all the revelations. Now, today, I just read that the Stuxnet virus, the one that destroyed a lot of the centrifuges in Iran, physical damage, and screwed up their nuclear development program, which they're allowed under the Non-Proliferation Treaty, that Stuxnet virus, as everyone thought, was developed jointly by Israel and the United States. Now, we kind of knew that, but now we have the document. That makes all the difference in the world. Why do I mention that? Because it's a new world out there. When you fool around with these kinds of cyber warfare techniques, and, you know, incidentally, the fellow in charge of all this, General Alexander, is the very same General Alexander who heads up the National Security Agency, an incredibly powerful man in Washington. Well, my point is this. Yeah, up till now, we've had battleships, we've had aircraft carriers, we've had F-35s and stealth aircraft and all. So we were the sole remaining superpower in the world. Now, there's a level playing field because it doesn't matter about these aircraft carriers anymore. What really matters is cyber warfare. And the Iranians and the Chinese and the Germans and other people have clever people just as clever as our own Edward Snowden's. So the playing field is leveler than ever before, and that's the trend of the future. And that's shown up by this Stuxnet travesty, where, yeah, they damaged these centrifuges for a couple of months, but they're back up, and the nuclear program, not the nuclear weapons program, mind you, but the nuclear power program that Iran is entitled to, is up and running. So the more we started it, okay, this shows that cyber warfare started with Israel and the United States against a person, against a country that we are not at war with, okay? We just want to destroy the nuclear facilities. So we started it, and I dare say there will be hell to pay over the longer run because everyone can fool around with these cyber warfare techniques And unless there's somebody that comes to their senses and says, we need a treaty, we need to work out ways to prevent this kind of thing in the future, then, as I say, other educational systems are fully as good as ours. Other young people are fully as good as our 20-year-olds. And we're in for a much more level playing field.
One of the revelations that comes from Mr. Snowden is the intense espionage monitoring that is taking place in Germany. And I would put that in the context of what I call the razzle-dazzle play, where the football is tossed from one player to another, and European agencies monitor American traffic and then turn it over to agencies like the NSA so that Obama and company can claim that we're not spying on American citizens. We just happen to stumble over this information from our foreign allies, and we're doing the same thing for them. And Ray, you have raised an important point about the German post- or neo-Nazi-Stasi surveillance that's taking place in Germany with the assistance of the NSA. Can you speak more about the depth of that and the reaction of the German population? Are they being more American than Americans?
Well, it's a strange way to put it, but I would say yes. There's a paper in Germany called Das Bild. Okay, it's sort of like the Daily News, sort of like, you know, it's a not the Süddeutsche Zeitung. It's not the most serious paper, but it's the most wide circulation, at least it was when I was there, about 3 million circulation, okay? They did a little survey just 3 days ago. Is Edward Snowden ein Held, hero, or a Verräter, a treasonous guy, what do you call it, a traitor, okay? And 85% of the Germans responding to this very big poll said he was a hero. Okay, 85%. Now, that touches a real nerve in Germany. They talk about Stasi, the East German Gestapo. And those of you who have seen that film, The Lives of Others, okay, well, that depicts all this. That was incredibly bad, okay? But nobody talks about the real Gestapo. And there are people my age and older who remember that the real Gestapo worked this kind of eavesdropping tool fairly well. They don't say that, but they all think it, okay? And so when the East Germans and the West Germans, the Germans together now look at what's happening and see that their own Bundesnachrichtendienst, their own BND, which is their CIA equivalent, is cooperating with U.S. services in this and other internal FBI equivalents, well, that brings back shudders. That sends chills up spines of Germans, and they don't want any part of that. And I dare say there's going to be a price to be paid by any German that is seen to be cooperating in this in elections that are coming up in September.
On that note, about those who are just giving orders, you recently had published a major editorial piece in regard to the culpability or responsibility of American officials who are facilitating this kind of espionage and trampling of constitutional issues. Can you speak a bit about what you what points you raised there in the NSA's hometown, almost?
Right. Yeah. Well, I was really surprised. This is a nice thing, Robert. The Baltimore Sun took my op-ed, published it yesterday. And it calls in a gentle way for the president to ask James Clapper, the National Intelligence Director, sits above all intelligence activities, and General Alexander, who I just mentioned is head of the NSA and head of the Cyber Command, to ask them to spend more time with their families. That's how we do it down here. We're very civilized in Washington. We never fire anybody, but we ask them to spend more time with their families. Now, Clapper, he lied under oath. He admits to having lied under oath. He told Andrea Mitchell, well, I said the least untruthful thing. And what did the congressmen and senators do? They yawn, okay? Well, the president has the option of firing Clapper for lying to Congress. That happens to be a felony, okay? And Alexander has also lied to the congressional overseers, the people from the House Intelligence Committee, who asked him back in late 2005, you know, there's a rumor that you're East eavesdropping on Americans. Is that true? And Alexander, the poor guy, he didn't know that the cat was already out of the bag. He didn't know that the New York Times was going to publish a big, big story on this 10 days later. And so he told Rush Holt, a congressman from around Princeton there in New Jersey, he said, oh, no, we perish the thought. We never eavesdrop on Americans. So lying to Congress is still a felony. And if the president wants to do something artful here, whether he does or not, I don't know, he could say, well, you know, I'm going to have to cashier these folks. I'm going to have to send them off to spend more time with their family because I don't tolerate that thing. And besides, they didn't tell me all the things that they were doing. Hmm. Now, is that possible, Robert? Yes, it is possible.
If you look
something called plausible denial, where you think the president doesn't want to know all this stuff, you don't tell him. You just go have him do it yourself. So whether that was the case or not, the president has the option, if he has any guts at all, and that, of course, is the problem, to say, General Clapper, or Mr. Clapper now, General Alexander, please spend more time with your family. We're going to clean up this act, and we're going to abide by the Constitution. There's an outside chance he could do that. In case you never thought of it before, I'm glad he can read it now in the Baltimore Sun.
Well, if the Obama administration gives us plausible deniability, there is also an incumbency upon the people who support them and shield the president and his minions with what I would call lying plausibility.
Yeah, you know, that's the big tragedy here. It used to be when this eavesdropping was uncovered under Bush, well, you got, about 60% of Democrats unalterably opposed to that kind of thing, right? Now, eavesdropping exposed to a fairly well under Obama, well, 65% of the Democrats think, well, it's probably all right. It's probably keeping us safe. Give me a break. We need to be honest about these things.
Ray McGovern, I want to thank you for being with us today. And I also want to direct our listeners to visit your website, raymcgovern.com. And there you'll find an even deeper analysis of these issues. And I thank you so much for being with us today.
Well, thank you, Robert.
This is 5 O'Clock Shadow, and coming up in today's program, we'll be speaking with the attorney for a dozen of the hunger-striking Guantanamo detainees at the U.S. military base in Guantanamo Bay, and that person is attorney Carlos Warner. Also, we will be hearing a most troubling video that has been edited for radio for today's program from Mos Def, the artist now known as Yasin Bey, in which, in conjunction with the human rights organization Reprieve, he voluntarily underwent the kind of tubular torture that the detainees or abductees are facing every day in Guantanamo, particularly in this week that marks the beginning of the fasting and purification Muslim season of Ramadan. And we'll also, in today's program, be reviewing Obama's broken promise. And we note this news development overnight. A federal judge has urged President Obama to address the hunger strike at Guantanamo, saying that he does indeed, despite his denials, have the power and the authority to bring easement and comfort to these political prisoners. In a case brought on behalf of Guantanamo detainees by Corey Kreider of Reprieve, that's reprieve.org.uk, Judge Gladys Kessler of the Federal District Court in Washington said that, quote, it is perfectly clear that force feeding is a painful, humiliating, and degrading process. And the plaintiff in this case, herself, Corey Kreider, said, quote, the judge's ruling leaves Obama with nowhere to hide. He has the power to address the hunger strike. He could end it tomorrow by starting to free prisoners that his own government has cleared for release. Will Obama act this time or not? This is 5 O'Clock Shadow. I'm Robert Knight in New York. More after this.
بالحب تلقاك البدور ضيف الأمان والسرور فيك العطايا والأجور يا مرحبا يا مرحبا زين الشهور Jour après jour, mon d'amour Tes sourcilia, bienvenue Meilleur de moi, bienvenue Bonheur et joie Notre homme au sein, bonheur et bien We welcome you month we all adore We pray for happiness and more To all the people open up your door Peace, love and joy Let them soar, let them soar Ramadan, Ramadan أحلى القوافي والنشيد في مقدم الشهر السعيد النور في الدنيا يزيد والرب تواب شكور أحلى القوافي والنشيد في مقدم الشهر السعيد النور في الدنيا يزيد والرب تواب شكور والرب تواب شكور رمضان رمضان Welcome holy month رمضان Welcome رمضان
This is 5 O'Clock Shadow on the Pacifica Radio Network, originating at WBAI. I'm Robert Knight in New York, and we're now joined by Carlos Warner. He is an attorney with the Federal Public Defender's Office of the Northern District in the state of Ohio, and he represents approximately a dozen of the detainees in the Guantanamo U.S. military base in Cuba. Welcome to the Shadow. Carlos, can you tell us something about your work with the Guantanamo abductees?
Well, I've been working there since 2008, and I've done everything I can to try to get the men freedom. And it's been a very difficult run, obviously, because Guantanamo is a lawless land. It's a place where lawyers have very little power. You have to really work outside the lines if you're going to accomplish anything.
One of the developments that is most striking this week is the beginning of the period of Ramadan, a sacred time of fasting and purification for those of the Muslim tradition. And at the same time, the inmates, of whom I understand approximately 100 or so, are on hunger strike, the Obama administration has refused to guarantee to honor this period with an assurance that they would not engage in continuing forced feeding. Can you tell us what that issue is about forced feeding?
Well, the forced feeding has been an issue for months now, and it's been defined as torture. It's against all medical ethics, and we've called for it to end for a long, long time. The courts don't have any jurisdiction or power to tell the prison in Guantanamo to end it.
During Ramadan, as I understand, the force feedings will take place at night so as not to violate the holiday, which is, you know, it's diabolical in its own way. So, as I understand it, the way the military will deal with this is instead of doing daytime feedings, and we believe a majority of men are being force-fed, because they say 44, but the average man's only force-fed 3 to 5 days, so by their own operating procedure. So we think the majority of the men will be extracted from their cells at night and force-fed during Ramadan.
I'm given to understand that in some cases this takes place as many times as twice a day?
That's the normal. Twice a day.
There was a ruling by a federal district judge that indicated that President Barack Obama, who has so many times promised and failed to close Guantanamo, does have the option to end the force feeding and provide for other human rights guarantees for the Guantanamo detainees. Are you familiar with that ruling, and what does it mean?
Well, what it means is basically the military is in charge of Guantanamo, and of course, the president's the commander-in-chief. So he would have the ability to order it as commander-in-chief, but there's no sign that he intends to do that or will do that. The ruling was more about the courts don't have jurisdiction to tell the military what to do in these kinds of settings in Guantanamo.
In the legal literature, is there any precedent for the maintenance of such a base as Guantanamo, where people without apparent due process have been rounded up from all over the world?
Guantanamo is its own creation, created by Dick Cheney, created with the idea that it would be lawless and outside the touch of any court of law. They had many places where they could put these people, but they knew that there were courts there, even if they were a court of a different country. Dick Cheney, Don Rumsfeld, George Bush did not want that, so they put these individuals in Guantanamo Bay, which is its own little entity. It's not affiliated with the United States. It's an army base. There are no courts there. You can't access the Cuban courts. So we as the lawyers fought for years and years and years just to meet with the client, and we continue to fight on a daily basis for the most menial sort of victory.
Does the existence and continued operation of this base under the current and prior administrations mean that there are any potential violations of due process, Bill of Rights, right to trial, habeas corpus, etc.?
Well, all of the above. Well, what government's position is that the Constitution does not apply fully. So there is no due process there. That's why someone can be held for 11 years without charge. There is habeas corpus, but that habeas corpus has been eviscerated by the courts in D.C. So even if you win your habeas corpus, the courts have no power to order you to be released. So it's an empty vessel. And in habeas corpus, there's a presumption that the government's evidence is accurate, and it's impossible to rebut most of it's classified. So there is no due process. There is no way out of Guantanamo right now. The only way out is by the president making a decision that he will do what's right for America, which is closing Guantanamo. He says that he's going to do it, but we've seen no action yet.
Well, he's been in office for 5 years, and one of the things that he claims is that Congress forbids him to do so. Is there any water held in that bucket?
Not true at all. In fact, without getting too legally technical, he can transfer any individual if the risk of transferring that person to a country is substantially mitigated and if it's in the interest of national security. And the president has eloquently stated on several occasions why Guantanamo hurts our national security. So he has the power, as it stands today, to release individuals using what's called a certification provision, and he's chosen not to do so yet. And he chooses to say that this is a fight that needs to be taken up with Congress, because that's something that the left will listen to and say, oh, yeah, it's, we can blame it on the right. But that's just not the case. There are things that need to be done in Congress. Let's be clear. If you're going to bring individuals to the United States for trial or otherwise, that needs to be run through Congress. But in terms of releasing the innocent men, the 86 innocent men, it's completely within the president's authority to do so right now.
We're speaking with attorney Carlos Warner. He is with the Ohio District Federal Public Defender's Office and a representative of many of the members of the detainees at Guantanamo. And aside from apparent violations of due process and constitutional law, are there international violations involved in the operation of Guantanamo, like the UN Declaration on Human Rights or other relevant documents?
The UN has defined indefinite detention and the force feeding as torture. The Geneva Conventions aren't being followed. Again, without getting too technical, these people should be held at or near the battlefield. And obviously Guantanamo is nowhere near there. They should be afforded a due process hearing at some point, and most of these men have had no due process. They've had kangaroo court hearings with, quote, representatives who work for the military. So, I mean, the men have never had any real shot at due process since they've been there, and that's why they stay there. And let's not, you know, most of the bad guys that are in Guantanamo are long gone. The people that are there now are the innocent ones. They're the ones that our government agrees should be immediately released, that they are not a danger. They should have never been there in the first place. That's the majority of the men there, and they're hunger striking. They're hunger striking because they're innocent men being held without charge, it looks like, indefinitely.
So it's a star chamber in a distant land without recourse or redress, and stonewalling on the part of the executive and or the legislative branch and the new class of security specialists in the United States of America. What kind of allies have you found in your pursuit of justice for the detainees? What kinds of organizational or legal colleagues and bodies and popular support have you found so far?
Well, plenty of people want to help. And I get phone calls and emails every day about what can we do. It's a difficult problem because really all you can do is pressure the president at this point. There are certainly many human rights organizations that are fighting very hard. I think that it's not a silent majority that speaks out on this issue. I think that you can hear, especially through the hunger strike, how people view injustice and autonomy. But then put that on the backdrop of really the general public, who they're just not well educated, and they believe that Guantanamo houses the worst of the worst, and they're the worst terrorists that we attacked over the people coming forward. Those things are completely untrue, and they come from right-handed talking points.
There may be some popular relief en route, just because overnight there was released by the, I believe, British-based human rights organization called Reprieve, a very stunning video of the artist formerly known as Mos Def, now known as Yasin Bey, in which he himself goes through it. What is your response to that?
Reprieve has done an amazing job for years, and Mos Def is really a hero to go through what he went through. It's traumatic to see, but understand that that's happening 80 times or more a day in Guantanamo. And to try to sugarcoat it is this the wrong thing to do. The public needs to understand exactly what happens in Guantanamo, and Reprieve has done a very good job.
We shall be hearing the ordeal later in today's edition of 5 o'clock Shadow, and we're speaking with Carlos Warner, a member of the public defense team of the Ohio District. And Carlos, I'd like to thank you so much for being with us on 5 o'clock Shadow on this critical day in human rights, and we wish you the best in continuing your good work in that regard.
Thank you.
Peace. My name is Yassine Bey, and I'm here today to demonstrate the standard operating procedure for force-feeding detainees at Guantanamo Bay. Good morning. I really want to thank you guys for setting this up and even having the idea to do it. I really didn't know what to expect. And then the tube went in, and the first part of it is not that bad, but then you get this burning. I got this burning. And then it just gets to, starts to be like really unbearable. It feels like something's going into my brain, and it starts to reach to the back of my throat, and I really couldn't take it. My name is Yassine Bey, and I've just taken part in a demonstration with standard operating procedure for force-feeding detainees at Guantanamo Bay. Peace and good morning.
It all began when they took me from my home and put me on death row, a crime for which I'm totally innocent, you know. I began to warm and chill to objects and their feels, a ragged cup, a twisted mop, the face of Jesus in my soup, those sinister dinner deals, the meal trolley's wicked wheels, a hook bone rising from my food, and all things either good or ungood. And the mercy seat is waiting, and I think my head is burning, and in a way I'm yearning to be done with all this weighing of the truth. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, and anyway I told the truth, and I'm not afraid to die. I hear stories from the chamber. Christ was born into a manger, and like some ragged stranger, he died upon the cross. Might I say it seems so fitting, in its way he was a carpenter by trade, or at least that's what I'm told. My kill hand's tattooed evil across its brother's fist. That filthy five, they did nothing to challenge or resist. In heaven his throne is made of gold, the ark of his testament is stowed, a throne from which I'm told all history does unfold. It's made of wood and wire, and my body is on fire, and God is never far away. Into the mercy seat I climb, my head is shaved, my head is wired, and like a moth that tries to enter the bright eye, I go shuffling out of life just to hide in death a while. And anyway, I never lie. And the mercy seat is waiting. And I think my head is burning. And in a way, I'm yearning to be done with all this weighing of the truth. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And anyway, I told the truth. And I'm not afraid to die. And the mercy seat is burning. And I think my head is glowing. And in a way I'm hoping to be done with all this twisting of the truth. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And anyway there was no proof. And I'm not afraid to die. And the mercy seat is glowing. And I think my head is smoking. And in a way I'm hoping to be done with all these looks of disbelief. A life for a life and a truth for a truth. And I've got nothing left to lose. And I'm not afraid to die. And the mercy seat is smoking. And I think my head is melting. And in a way that's helping to be done with all this twisting of the truth. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And anyway, I told the truth. But I'm afraid I told a lie.
Treat you is the measure of our own liberty.
How about
when we went, he went on to, we went on. We're addressing that, ma'am.
The thousands of Muslims that you have killed, will you compensate the innocent family victims? That will make us safer here at home. I love my country. I love the rule of law. The drones are making us less safe. And you keep making people in a definite intention to be Guantanamo. You're making us less safe. Abide by the rule of law.
You know, I think that the, and I'm going off script as you might expect here. The voice of that woman is worth paying attention to. Obviously, I do not agree with much of what she said.
Second point, our legitimacy is reduced when we've got a Guantanamo that is open, when we suspend habeas corpus. Those kinds of things erode our moral claims that we are acting on behalf of broader universal principles, and that's one of the reasons why those kinds of issues are so important.
We're going to lead by shutting down Guantanamo and restoring habeas corpus in this country so that we offer them an example.
I think that folks made a terrific point that we have to stand for human rights, and that should be part of the trade equation. It is harder for us to do it when we have situations like Guantanamo, where we've suspended habeas corpus. To the extent that we are not being true to our values and our ideals, that sends a negative message to the world, and it gives us less leverage then when we want to deal with countries that are abusing human rights. So I think it's part and parcel with a larger program of us restoring the traditions that made this country great and made us admired around the world.
There are a number of different things that you could do early pertaining to executive orders.
Right.
One of them is to shut down Guantanamo Bay.
Mm-hmm.
Another is to change interrogation methods that are used by U.S. troops. Are those things that you plan to take early action on?
Yes. I have said repeatedly that I intend to close Guantanamo, and I will follow through on that. I've said repeatedly that America doesn't torture, and I'm going to make sure that we don't torture. Those are part and parcel of an effort to regain America's moral stature in the world.
Let's passion. Life is fantastic, beautiful and tragic, plain, classic. Long as I'm alive, I'ma never stop rapping. It's honest work for honest bastards. Made in Manhattan, raised out of Brooklyn. It ain't to do but keep looking. Shook, cause they all cooks. My hands keep clean, even off the books. See, yo, this is the way it is. It's how we gotta live. It's peace, power, understanding, no cowardice. I got the sharp song, and keep the sharp song. Custom fitted, surgeon throwing the smart song. It's good, loaded, sweet Jesus and hot sauce. The hot butter, the big screens and popcorn. The open range, the top gone, the top jaw. The underground, the top dog, the airborne. The crescent and the star, the seven and the R. Sunglasses and all, right back in the dark. At the speed of thought, wow, so powerful. It was all a dream, now it's a surrounding view. Caution, caution, careful, careful. So much fun, can it be so simple? Mathematic, Asiatic, black magic, rack tactic. Free and keep captives, baby, what's happening? Listen, life is fantastic, beautiful and tragic. Plain, classic, long as I'm alive, I'ma never stay rapping. Psych, super nice, made in Manhattan, born in Brooklyn. And ain't nothing you can do but keep looking. They shook, stay all crooks. It's number unlisted, he off the hook. So yo, this is the way it is. This how we gotta live. Speech, power, understanding, no cowardice. Get the smart song, keep the smart song. Custom fitted, surgeon putting the darts on. Good lordy, sweet Jesus and popcorn. Fresh water, clean lines and newborns. The open range, the top on, the top jaw. The underground, the top dog, the airborne. The crescent and the star, the seven and the R. Sunglasses and all, vibrant in the dark. At the speed of dark, wow, so powerful. Ski, yes, so fresh. We're here. Gotta live, speech, power, understanding, no cowardice. And get the sharp song, and keep the smart song. Custom fit, surgeon throwing the smart song.
And that concludes today's 5 o'clock shadow. The program was engineered by Michael G. Haskins, Reggie Johnson, and Sean Rhodes. We welcome your comments, questions, leaks, and suggestions with an email to theshadow@wbai.org. And for 5 o'clock shadow, I'm Robert Knight in New York.